Proverbs chapter 5, I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, and your lips may guard knowledge. For the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I do not listen to the voices of my teacher. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembly of the congregation. Let's pray over God's word again. Father, this is a powerful warning that we hear. And God, we pray that your word would do its work. I thank you, Lord, it's not about us. Thank you, Lord, it's not about me. I thank you that your word does the work. Lord, I pray that your word would come and have its way with us. Have its way with me, God. Convict me of sin and righteousness and judgment. Convict us of sin and call us to turn and trust the sin bearer, the glorious Christ. Father, we pray that if there's anything in secret among us that needs to be brought to the light so that we could be healed, that we could be more holy, Lord, that we could be more faithful to you, God, we pray that you would come and gently, Lord, by your Spirit, apply your word, Lord, that we might be holy in this area of sexuality. So God, work in us today and have your way. Help me, Lord, I can't do this. I can do nothing apart from you. Help me speak in a way that's pleasing to you, faithful to the text. Father, may you work for Jesus' sake. Amen. A powerful warning to flee sexual sin was given to my pastoral class several years ago in one of my study programs. The warning came in the form of a true story about a missionary. A missionary's fall into sexual sin. There was a young man in the same kind of Bible college program that I was in. He was married and he went off to California to work in youth ministry. And then he and his wife were called to do missions work in a country in Southeast Asia. And they were in a very needy place, a very needy part of the world. And part of the husband's work as a missionary would take him through what's known as the red light district, a place known for forbidden women and promiscuity and prostitution. And he would walk through this area and fight to be pure, fight to follow Christ, fight to be faithful in his heart, mind, and soul and actions to his wife and family, and especially to his God. But over the years, his resistance to the call of the forbidden woman became weaker and weaker. Until finally he began sleeping with these forbidden women. His fixation with them became overwhelming, and eventually he ended up walking away from his wife, walking away from his family, walking away from ministry, Christian ministry, and walking away from God. He was a part of a church that loved him, Loved him enough to say, "What's going on? Why are you doing this? This is a dangerous place to go. Come back, come back, come back." And in one of these conversations with one of the elders from the church, the elder asked, "Why? Why would you do this?" And he responded, "I just got tired of fighting. I just got tired of fighting." Friends, I long for this sermon to help married men and women not get tired of fighting. I long for this sermon to help single people to not get tired of fighting. I long for this sermon to help all of us in all manner of temptations as we walk with Jesus to not get tired of fighting. Because the grand mark, one of the grand marks of a true believer in the Lord Jesus is that you don't get tired of fighting. You may fail, you may stumble, but you get back up again to fight another day. And so we need these kinds of exhortations from the Proverbs to help us, to remind us not to get tired of fighting. For holiness, for purity, to find Christ to be our all-satisfying treasure. We live in a world that celebrates the forbidden woman and the forbidden man. There are even dating websites specifically designed to connect forbidden women and forbidden men together to help you cheat on your spouse. One website was very public in the news because some hackers had displayed all the names of the people who had been using that website. Many were pastors. One pastor even took his own life when the news came out, because he just couldn't bear to face his church and wife and family. The motto of this website is, "Life is short, have an affair." Life is short, have an affair. Friend, God says, "Hell is long, don't have an affair." God says, "Hell is long and hell is hot. Don't have an affair. Christ is glorious. Don't have an affair. Christ is satisfying. Don't have an affair. Christ is merciful." That pastor didn't know that Christ is merciful, who took his own life. Christ is merciful. Friend, if you've had an affair and you're here today, Christ is merciful. If you repent and believe in the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. You shall be saved. Sex is a good gift from God. It's a good gift from God. And next week, we get to talk more about that. This week, we get the warning, the what not to do. And next week, we get one of the remedies to what not to do is get married and enjoy the wife of your youth. Enjoy relations with your husband, with your spouse. So that's next week. But this week, we have a very stern warning. Proverbs 5, verses 1 through 2, "My son." So we're overhearing a father instruct his son in the ways of holiness, in the ways of righteousness, God's wisdom. And it's amazing how much Proverbs, especially in these next three chapters, focuses on sexuality. It's a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big stumbling block. And so we get to overhear what the father is telling the son, what the king is telling the son who will be king. And in it we hear God's word for us and how we should be pure. "My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion, that you may be wise in all your dealings, that you may be discerning, that you may not be deceived. And your lips may guard knowledge, that you may be a sage in wisdom and speak truth, speak holiness, speak righteousness." And then we see the warning begin. with the object of what we're warned from, the desirable yet forbidden woman. In verse 3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey and her speech is smoother than oil. So as I spoke about last week a little bit, what is most dangerous in your lives as a Christian? It will come to you as an angel of light. It will come to you as an angel of light. Come and do this. You'll be set free. This will be good for you. This will satisfy you. This will make you happy. So often this is the case with the greatest forms of evil. 2 Corinthians 11:14, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 15 through 16, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. So many of the most dangerous, the dangerous killers of our soul, look really good on the outside, just like the apple. Remember the apple? We don't know it was an apple. It was a fruit tree that God said, don't eat of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And Eve saw it was good and looked good and good for food. And she ate. This woman is like that fruit. She is desirable. She's very desirable. She's gorgeous. She speaks words that make you feel really, really good. Your wife never talks to you the way she does. I'm speaking as Satan now. Your wife never speaks to you the way she does. She's so friendly. She's so affirming. Builds that male ego. Oh yes, stroke that male ego. Her words are drip honey, smoother than oil. She speaks these words that make you feel really good. She's so understanding. She understands me like my wife doesn't understand. She's so encouraging. She's so loving. Oh, how can this be wrong? She just makes me feel so good. She understands me. She desires me. She desires to meet my needs. My wife doesn't care about my needs. Her words are sweet like honey to you. They build you up. That's the way this woman comes. That's the way I can apply this to men and women. That's the way His words come to you, young ladies. They tell you all these things. I love you like no woman I've ever loved. You're so beautiful. You're so amazing. Oh, young ladies, men will tell you anything just to get what they really want from you. Beware, young women. Beware, young women, of men who use this kind of slick speech. It's deadly. It's the opposite of what Proverbs hold up as the ideal woman in Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful. These words of charm, smooth, dripping oil, honey, words, they're deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Oh, this woman is very desirable. Who is this forbidden woman? Who is this forbidden woman? For those of you who are married, it's any woman who is not your wife. This forbidden woman is any woman who is not your wife. It could be the prostitute, the one who sells her body. It could be the women in pornography. It could be the women in pornography in magazines or on websites. She is the forbidden woman from anyone. Jesus had very stern words in Matthew 5:27-29. We talk about being gospel-centered to motivate us to holiness. Sometimes Jesus was hell-centered to motivate us to holiness. Jesus said in Matthew 5:27-29, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away, for it is better that you lose one of your members than that your whole body be thrown into hell." I don't believe Jesus means for us to literally gouge eyes out and cut hands off. But I do believe He's saying we need to get violent with sin. I saw a brother preacher tell me, say this week, that one of his friends, to keep himself from the forbidden woman on his iPhone, got rid of his iPhone and had to pay a $350 early resignation fee or whatever. That's what I think Jesus is getting at. I think sometimes we're like, "I couldn't live without my computer. I couldn't live without my iPhone. I would rather live without my iPhone and computer and go to heaven than have my iPhone and computer all my life and spend eternity in hell." I love that scene in that movie, Fireproof. It's a movie about marriage, and the husband is addicted to pornography, and finally he gets saved and he comes to Christ, and he realizes he's got to fight this temptation from these forbidden women online. And so he takes the computer and he throws it on the ground and he starts beating it with a ball bat, and he gets like 2 dozen roses and leaves it in the place of the computer, and he leaves a note for his wife that says, "I love you more." That's a wonderful picture of fighting for holiness, for purity. The woman who is not a believer is a forbidden woman. If you're here this morning and you're a Christian and you want to be married, whether you're male or female, God says to find another believer in Jesus. Friend, you need to find someone to marry who loves Jesus infinitely more than they love you. You need to find someone who loves Jesus infinitely more than they love you, because marriage is hard. Marriage is hard. I'm not married, but I'm a pastor and I talk to married couples. Marriage is hard. Doesn't matter how holy you are, marriage is hard. And so you need to build a foundation with someone who says, "Because I love Jesus, because I trust Jesus, because I'm committed to Jesus, you ain't never getting rid of me." Because I realize to breach that covenant would so destroy my relationship with Jesus that I don't care how hard it is, I am staying with you because I love Jesus. Because as Piper says, marriage is not about staying in love, it's about keeping covenant with God. And so, single person, find someone who loves Jesus infinitely more than they love you. And they'll stay married to you because Jesus says, "What God has joined, let no man separate." We are not to have any sexual contact with another person except in marriage. The Bible is very clear on this. We are not to have sexual contact with any person unless we are married to them, one man and one woman, who make a covenant promise before God in marriage. That's God's standard. That's God's standard. That outlaws fornication, having sex before marriage. It outlaws shacking up, living with one another, giving it a test drive. It outlaws all those things. That's God's holy standard. Are there men or women in your life, especially married people, are there men or women in your life that you are getting too close to emotionally? Are there men or women in your life that you are getting too close to emotionally? This can happen through social media, Facebook, Twitter. I have a friend who hates Facebook, hates it, because she's seen so many of her friends get divorced because of things that happen on Facebook. I don't believe Facebook is evil. I believe the heart is evil. Like so many things, we don't want to take the world's approach. They say the thing outside is the evil thing. As Christians, we know the heart is the evil thing. But friends, some of you may need to get off Facebook. And if you're having an emotional relationship with somebody that's not your spouse, that is a forbidden relationship. The forbidden woman, whoever she might be, will kill you. Will kill you. Look at verses 4 through 6. But in the end, she is... On the front, she's wonderful. She's amazing. She makes me feel like I've never felt before. But the end. God is always pointing us to the end. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. As one commentator said, honey is sweet, but the bee stings. Honey is sweet, but the bee stings. And this is a killer bee, and you're allergic and will die. Another pastor said it this way, you may say she's hot, but so is hell. You may look at her and say, wow, she's hot, but friends, so is hell. We must consider the final end. We must consider the final end. In the heat of the moment of any temptation, it could be sexual or any other temptation, we often forget the end. Where this is leading to. What we will face one day. I saw one person people say, don't judge me, only God can judge me. But one day God will judge you. One day He will. God is always setting before us the end. And we see this woman is bitterness, wormwood, this shrub that is a bitter shrub. She's a two-edged sword. She is the meat grinder that you're getting in bed with, and she's going to grind you to pieces. Cut you to pieces. She's death. Sheol is the place of the dead. You will end up dead. She's the opposite of life. And apart from repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus, you'll end up in hell, where Jesus says the fire is unquenchable and never ends. And we see the Father that loves His Son. And so He's saying, don't go there. Don't go here, Son. I love you. Don't go there. And you see these warnings to stay away from the forbidden woman, verses 7 through 14. And now, O sons, listen to me, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Keep your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how I hated discipline, and my heart despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to my instructors. I am at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. God is saying to us today, stay away from her. Don't even go near her house. Get rid of her phone number. Get rid of your phone. Move away. Go to California. Move to Uganda. Do what you have to do. Don't go near her. Flee. flee from her. Like Joseph, remember Joseph being tempted by Potiphar's wife. He left and she grabbed his clothes and he didn't even go back for his clothes. He ran out naked. Just get away. There's no need to be bold here and show what kind of a man you are. You'll be crushed. You'll be crushed. You'll become a loaf of bread and she'll consume you. So flee. Flee from her. This is the same exhortation we see in places in the New Testament like 1 Corinthians 6 verses 15 through 20. 1 Corinthians 6 verses 15 through 20. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? Never! You see the motivation here. It's different than hell, though hell should be a motivation for us to live a holy life. This motivation is, you belong to Jesus. You're in union with Jesus. You're in union with Yeshua, Messiah, HaMashiach. So live like it. How can you join Jesus to a prostitute? Or do you not know that he who is joined to a prostitute becomes one body with her? For as it is written, the two shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. Flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Amen. Your body belongs to Christ. Your body is joined to Christ. Your sexual parts belong to Christ. So what you do with them matters to Christ. Don't join them to a forbidden man or a forbidden woman. And notice, you'll lose everything because of her. Oh, there will be a fleeting, passing pleasure of sin. There will be. But you'll lose everything. Is it really worth it? No, it's not. It's not. You'll lose everything. Look at verses 9 and 10. Lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless. Lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. Now, all these nouns that describe what your honor is given to and your strength is given to and your labors are given to, they're masculine. So it's not referring to the woman. Some believe that it refers to her pimp. So you're giving what you've worked for, what you've labored for, over to her boss. Or some believe the merciless is the outraged husband, because she's married too. And so there's a rage of jealousy from a merciless husband who's angry that you have been with his wife. Or it mentions a foreigner, a non-Israelite. You're giving what you've worked for to a non-Israelite in the context of verses 9 and 10. Or there was cult prostitution. And so you're giving your money to the priests of the cult. But you're giving your honor. You're giving your years. You're giving your strength. You're giving your labor. You're giving your life over to others, and you're losing it all. And notice, at the end of his life, he's groaning. He's groaning when his flesh and body are consumed. Oh, friends, the Father is warning the Son, don't go there. The end is death. The end is hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the body will be consumed. One commentator, Waltke, speaks about how sexual immorality, it leads to alimony, paying money to support an estranged, divorced spouse, or it leads to child support. It leads to broken homes. It leads to hurt and shame and pain and jealousy and loneliness. It leads to venereal disease. I went to a military school, and every spring break they would gather all 4,000 of us into the auditorium and show us a 30 or so minute video on venereal diseases and try to scare us into being pure over spring break. But that's what sin leads to. It leads to the destruction of the body and the flesh. And you notice this man regrets. He regrets having been with the forbidden woman. Look at verse 13. He basically says, I didn't listen. I didn't listen. I didn't discipline myself to say no to ungodliness. I didn't listen when the pastor preached on Proverbs 5. This man who goes into the forbidden woman, he hates discipline. He hates discipline. He's the opposite of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. The Apostle says, do you not know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. We're to discipline ourselves. Self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. Pray that God would cause you to grow in self-control. Friend, pray for me. Pray that I, your pastor, would discipline myself. What I think about, what I look at, what I think on. Pray for me that I would discipline myself. Do you know if a pastor were to go into a forbidden woman, he should resign. He should resign. It doesn't matter how much he goes on TV and cries about what he did. He should cry. He should confess it. He should repent. But he should resign. I will resign if I go into the forbidden woman. And I pray God kills me before I would do such a thing. Strike me down. Take my life. Take me home to Jesus. Pray for me. That God would keep me. We must discipline ourselves to remain pure. This man who goes into the forbidden woman, he despises reproof. He doesn't listen. He thinks, I got this. I don't need counseling. You know, I can do this on my own. I don't need to tell the pastor. I don't need to be open and honest. I got this. He doesn't listen. Friend, how do you receive reproof? How do you receive warning? It's a sign of pride if you will not receive reproof and warning. It's a sign of pride and arrogance. This man is proud and he does not listen. He despises reproof. Proverbs 15, 31 through 33 says, "The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Whoever ignores instruction despises himself, and he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. The fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor." All friends, don't despise reproof. Invite people to speak into your lives and help you see ways in which you're not walking faithfully with the Lord. And verse 14, notice he says, I'm at the brink of utter ruin in the assembled congregation. There's shame among the assembly of the people in this. There's shame and loss of honor before others. It is a shameful thing to go into the forbidden woman. It's a shameful thing to act like the forbidden woman. It's a shameful thing to be the forbidden man or to go into a forbidden man or to be a forbidden man. And as I read the words of the assembled congregation, I couldn't help think of our church, our assembled congregation, and how we commit, if you're a member of this church, to love you enough that if you're going down this road, we're going to come after you in love. In humility, with tears in our eyes and brokenness, and call you back to faithfulness, to call you to repent. We're going to love you enough to do that. We want to love you enough not to just, okay, whatever happens, happens. Love goes after people in these situations. Love pursues. Love, if you're unwilling to listen and repent, love will excommunicate you from the church. Did you know that? That's what love does. Love says, we love you. And you're claiming to be a follower of Jesus, but you're living in sexual sin that you're unwilling to repent of. And because you're unwilling to repent, we can't with any confidence say that you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. Because you're unwilling to turn from your sins and follow Him. Friend, love does that. 1 Corinthians 5. If that's new to you, if you've not heard that before, if that sounds harsh, you need to read 1 Corinthians 5 this afternoon. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Because in that, God lays out for us what true love is. Let me read the first five verses. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 1 through 5. It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even among pagans. For a man has his father's wife. And you are arrogant. Ought you not rather to mourn? Let him who has done this be removed from among you. For though absent in body, I am present in spirit. And as if present, I have already pronounced judgment on the one who did such a thing. When you are assembled in the name of the Lord Jesus, and my spirit is present, with the power of our Lord Jesus, you are to deliver this man to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, so that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. As Pastor Vody says, I don't write the mail, I just deliver it. This is God's word. This is God's word. This is what it means to love someone. Is that when they are named a believer, named a follower of Jesus, they're a church member, and they're living in sexual sin and unwilling to repent, then we turn them over to Satan. That's language for we excommunicate them. We cast them out of the body. Why? So that they may be saved on the day of the Lord, that they might come to themselves like the prodigal son who goes off and wastes his father's living on prodigal living. And you remember that phrase, it says, and he came to himself. That's what we want when we excommunicate. We want people to be cast out into the far country, that they might come to themselves eating the pods with the pigs and say, I have sinned against heaven, and I've sinned against my father, and I'll go back and repent. That's what we want to happen. That they might be saved. And friend, we're committed. As long as I'm here, we're committed to love in that way. And friend, we need to be honest. We need to be honest with one another. I pray that as a result of this sermon, things would come to the light in our lives. That we'll talk to other Christians about maybe relationships that are going in a direction they shouldn't go. That we'll be open and honest, because things must come to the light. And in the light, there can be healing. No matter how bad we've been, no matter what we've done, we have a gospel that can handle it. We have a gospel where there's forgiveness, where there's salvation, where there can be restoration, where there can be healing. Listen to this amazing story written by Randy Alcorn in a book called The Purity Principle. He writes this: a woman told me, he's a pastor, a woman told me that a year earlier, her husband came to her in tears, confessing his attraction to a co-worker. Husbands, wives, do you have that kind of relationship with your spouse? That you can come to them and tell them something like that? This man comes to his wife in tears, confessing that he's really attracted to a woman that he works with. He was under constant temptation and felt himself slipping. He committed himself to back off from the relationship and ask his wife to understand and pray for him. She was hurt. That's understandable. She was hurt, but realized she needed to help him rather than feel sorry for herself. The result? Not only did he back off, but through his wife's support, they drew closer together than ever. In tears, she told me, 2 months ago, my husband died without warning. If he hadn't been honest with me that night, he would have had an affair with that woman and likely would have left me. He would have died unready to meet God. Friend, I hope as a husband or wife, you see one of your callings as to help your spouse be ready to meet God. To be ready to meet God. She says, if he died, he would have been unready to meet God, and I would have lived the rest of my life grieving over his affair. But that isn't what happened. His last words to me were, I love you. And I know it was true. He'd proven it by his actions. I thank God every day that I think of him with complete respect and admiration for loving God and me enough to be honest about his struggles. How are we doing, husband, wife, single person, with our honesty, with someone we can trust who loves Jesus about our struggle? How are you doing, spouses, about being honest with one another? May God work in me more and in you and all of us honesty with someone who can help us when we're in need. Charles Spurgeon said this, there is nothing in the law of God that will rob you of happiness. It only denies you that which would cost you sorrow. So whether it felt like it or not, this sermon has been a call to joy. It's been a call to joy. Everlasting joy in the age to come and joy now in this life. That's why we have this warning. For joy. So that you won't go to the place of death. And yet I realize that there is much brokenness here. There's much brokenness here. There's much failure here. There's much sin here. And there's much sin and brokenness and failure in our lives sexually, in your lives. And so I want to end by reminding you. We have a great Savior. We have a great merciful Savior who forgives and who heals and who changes and who makes pure again. And I shared this story with you before, but I just want to share it again because I want it to be the banner over this time we spend in Proverbs 5, 6, and 7, because we're going to talk about this more. I want this to be the banner over these sermons. It's called The Dirty Rose Lover. The Dirty Rose Lover. It's a sermon portion preached by Matt Chandler, and he says this. He was preaching on marriage. He says, the mingling of souls in the confines of marriage is God's ideal, but it's tough because it is the ideal. I know there are all kinds of hurt in this room. I went to Bible college in West Texas in 1995, and there in one of my classes, I met this girl who I really connected with. She was 26, and she had lived a hard life. She had two kids and no husband. The new baby was actually from a married man who she was still seeing on and off. So we started hanging out, building a relationship. A friend of mine was playing a concert in the area, so I invited her to go with me. The concert was a part of a True Love Waits rally. The speaker, who gave a short sermonette before the concert, walked out on the stage with a white rose. And he began to talk about how the rose was pure and freshly cut that day. And he talked about how sweet it smells. Then he took it and threw it out into the crowd and instructed everyone to pass it around and smell it and touch the petals. And then he went off on a rant that in no way reflected Christ's love and forgiveness. It was all about STD statistics. So Jesus, the great author and creator of sex, gets boiled down to, you don't want to catch gonorrhea, do you? He had a pack of cigarettes. He said, nobody wants a girl who's been passed around like a pack of cigarettes. So once the rose made its way back to the stage, it was in much worse shape than when it began. It was all broken. All the petals were all busted up and nasty. It was broken and dirty, and he asked, who would want a rose like this? Who would display this? Who would want a rose like this? All this time, I'd been praying for my friend. After the concert, we headed home and were all laughing and having fun, but she was not saying anything. So I took her home and thinking the Holy Spirit's convicting her. Some time passes and I notice she's not showing up to class anymore, so I start calling her and leaving her messages. Finally, I get a phone call from her mom saying that she's at the hospital. So I head up to the hospital to find out that she had been at some bar and got drunk and went home with these guys. As they drove away, one of the guys tried to take advantage of her, so they fought in the back seat. And finally, the guy opened the door and pushed her out while they were driving down the highway. She got a blood clot in her brain and had been in a coma ever since. So I go up there and pray for her and then head back to school. I go back the next day and she had woken up, so we talked. And in the middle of our conversation, she stopped and she asked me, "Do you really think I'm a dirty rose?" That was a huge left turn in my life that day. Before that moment, I had been one of those who would hijack the most beautiful message in the world. Who would want the dirty rose, is what the preacher asked. Let me show you who does. Luke 7, verses 36 and 39. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting him to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at the table. And there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, and when she learned that he was reclining at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Verses 44 through 49, turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, this is Jesus, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You do not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." He turns to the woman and says, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." Not go in regret. Not go in regret. Go in peace. Go in peace knowing that I love you. Go in peace knowing that I can heal you. Go in peace knowing that I want the dirty rose. I died for the dirty rose so that it might be reconciled and made pure in my sight. So who wants the dirty rose? Jesus does. Jesus does, because that's all of us. All of us, pastor included, we are broken, bent, defiled, and unwanted. This is all of us. These shreds, all of us are broken and nasty at the core of who we are, and Jesus wants us. The dirty roses. This is the gospel. Jesus is the dirty rose lover. And so, friend, that's the good news today. That's the good news. If you're here today and you've been the forbidden woman, you've been the forbidden man, you're doing something right now you know you shouldn't be doing that you need to confess. Friends, there's hope in the gospel of Jesus. There's hope to be forgiven. There's hope to be changed. There's hope to be healed. There's hope to become pure again through the life and death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so believe Him. Come to the dirty rose lover. Repent of your sins and believe in Him and you can be saved. You can be forgiven. You can be healed. You see, Jesus Christ created sex. Of human pleasures, its apex. In love, He gives it specs and checks so His great beauty it reflects. The forbidden woman will bring you down. Though she wears a beauty gown, never has a frown, speaks of you with great renown, and gives your heart an unspeakable meltdown, she'll make of you a foolish clown, and bring you down low to the ground, and even lower further down, because in flames of hell you'll drown. So turn and trust the Son, be found, for He will never be brought down. He rose in power, great renown, she never made of Him a clown. He has conquered every frown. He died in flames of wrath, was drowned, and darkness to the tomb went down. Then rose was given every crown to clothe you in clean, bright gown. All the devil's work shut down. Now Christ's the greatest sight in town. He'll give your heart the true meltdown. Oh, ravish us with your renown, oh Jesus. From Jesus' pure and precious lips, the best and sweetest honey drips. Your heart His loving passion grips, for His compassion never slips. He saves you from apocalypse. Away from all evil He strips. All other lovers He'll eclipse. So trust His word from precious lips. From Him eternal pleasure drips. And so come to Christ. Come to the one who satisfies and be saved. All the ends of the earth. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we confess we need You here. God, we need You. Sometimes, Lord, temptations of these nature seem and feel overwhelming. God, we beg You to help us. Father, we beg You to help us heed this warning. Lord, to resist the forbidden woman, the forbidden man, to not be the kind of people who would tempt others. So Lord, work by Your Spirit in our hearts, God. Have Your way with us. Make us a pure and holy people, sexually and in all other ways. Holy Spirit, come and search our hearts. See if there's any wicked way in us and lead us in the way everlasting. Help us to fight temptation. Lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. Father, that we may be a people who love sex the way You meant for it to be loved in marriage for the glory of Your name. We ask it for Christ's sake. Amen.